women get the kindling and the backlog, you know, to get the fire going in the morning, see.
But you had a ramp
just raise the window, just get the wood, get, you know, put it on the ramp. That's right. And wouldn't mess with the floors or wood box inside, have that on the outside. But I just sold that thing here. I don't know, just before this winter.
And when did you put the chimney up?
The chimney, I was built in 19...
it's not old.
About 35.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, and I was, we used some of the same material. You've heard of it, I know, I guess, if you're acquainted with rocks. Sand rock.
Mm-hmm.
The salt rock.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a clay rock, you know, where you take it and take a rag and wet it, you know, and just keep washing it. There wasn't any polish at all. But that's what it's built out. Then you use cement, you know, cement it over. It's in pretty fast shape now, and it's still, you know, it hadn't lent the base, built a good base. It hadn't separated nothing. That's the reason the guy said, no, it's even me. He cut it down, you know, like Maxie did over there, and overhauled it, put another front seal.
Oh, and you're living in it, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. I live in the back room on the other side of this one. Just two rooms in the kitchen. That's the only two I bother with. That's the reason I sold that heat. I don't mess with a big chair. I got four of them easy chairs like he's got in there.
Oh,
there's four of them. There's six rockers in that big room.
Mm-hmm.
Six rocking chairs. And the three of them just like yours. You know, cost $100-some-odd a piece. I don't know what you pay for yours. You buy yours and you?
Yeah.
I think I'll run from $69 to $100-some-odd.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last one that bought the newest is $100-some-odd. But I don't use them too much. But I stay in this kitchen here. That's where the table is. Got the papers and
hats.
Got a couple of hats.
Yeah.
Well, my doctor's back on one end. And he said, "Why don't you move that back?" I said, "That's my back." And I said, "Nobody come in and using any of it. Do I'll give them a block of it. You know, by the wholesale."
Yeah.
I said, "They won't. If they're out, I'll give them a block. It's got no hand to get through." He said, "Well, you could keep that somewhere in a drawer somewhere in the house." I said, "Well, it wouldn't be handy to get to."
That's
my guy over there. Guy, he wants things to handle when you get to it.
That's right.
Where is that, David? Where's
that?
The
backer's on the table inside him, in the kitchen here. See, the two doors here.
In the dining room?
In the dining room, where the old big round table is.
Yeah.
The backer's on one end of it.
Oh, yeah.
In the hats and the papers, magazines, and Willie give me those old crazy magazines. He likes to read them. You might bring them home.
Okay.
That old alligator, I believe the name of it, put out at the university.
Well, you
You've heard of the alligator?
You can keep that.
Then they got another one called Midnight.
You can keep that too.
You heard of them? You like to read? Look at them things.
I get enough university without reading about it.
But Willie, know it. He and Aria, they get it, and they turn it over to me.
Is that right?
Yeah. But it's a lot of that election business and all that. The coons, you know, got in there and that old darky. And Willie tell me about that girl. And, you know, I thought she the darky. You know, when it got beat. But she the white girl. He said, "No." I said, "Well, she looked like she, you know, about to eat that colored man up. You know, one of Sonny Taylor or something or other." You probably heard about the incident on the radio, in other words, they gave it to you. But he said, "Yeah, that'd be so." Said she could have, you know, ate him up whole. That white girl. But she conceded to him, you know, and then she got that long hair, too. But the essence of they, you know, running this all this outfit is something else. And the other part, that midnight business, it's about this visitation program. It's a weird outfit. It's hard to believe. Well, you know, decent acting people, why, they wouldn't think it was so. What's going on? But it's a fact.
Well, now look at the house there. That's.
But it's all right. That's a good picture. That boy made a good picture of it.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is. He made a good picture.
That's beautiful.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
But from here back,
that's
I'm gonna
separate.
That's separate. It was built later, and it's good. It's good. You know where that the foundation and the whole works is good.
Yeah. Well, that's
now,
built
could,
later.
You know, do like you did here. You know, put some of this. Well, that's wallpaper. What is it here? Is that a board or paper?
This stuff here?
Yeah.
This old-fashioned paper.
Yeah.
I just stripped it to keep it from, you know.
Well, you do mine. It's got the ceiling underneath it, but you strip it without either put this paneling on top of it, see?
Sure.
And it'd be put in nice shape. It's the foundation and everything is really good.
Yeah.
But I said, no, I'm gonna roll it out, and I'm gonna start, you know, right to the right of the front part of the house, and build me a 2-bedroom, double garage, and have a washroom right next to it. I got the wash tub now in the pump house there, you know, the Wrangler type wash machine. But I'm going to have it made in like I just got now with in the back. The utility room on the back of the double. He got a 2-car garage. I have it mixing. Then down in the end of the hall, I'm going to have a heating and air conditioning unit. Central air heat. That's when I'll heat up and put it in. But a 2-bedroom, I figure all that I'm building thing for about $7,000 to $8,000.
Would that help?
With some help. A little help.
If you get yourself a block house, you'll have to keep it picked up.
Yeah.
Well,
and not worth it.
Well, that's
well, what you're gonna do
but
with it.
You know what's different here? If you go, you ask Max or something. Of course, he might not tell you nothing. You know how he is. He's an odd character, anyhow. But he'll tell you right quick. I bet you put it. He got $7,000 to $8,000 here. That's an old home, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was a 2-story, and he cut the top story off, you know, and left it down. That's what, you know. Somebody said I could do with this here.
Yeah.
That roof in there, it's old. It's been there, you know, now for all these years. And it's been painted, you know, 2-3 times. And it's got a couple of leaks, in other words. But I know where the leaks are, and I've got a couple of dishpan, in other words, that, you know, catch the water, you know, and keep them running.
Sure.
The floor or the rug got one of these, you know, nice rugs inside of the front room now.
Sure.
You know, I made that rug cost, you know, $60,
$100. Yeah.
But keep running, you know, water on it. Well, I've got 2 pans there, you know, keep raining on it, and that's only 2 leaks in it. But you go to mess around with a foundation here and putting new steel on it, straighten it up, the wall, the stud, and it doesn't drop down. Then you take off this roof and go to buy a new roof. That boy, I just said it cost him $1,000 just to put the roof on here.
Yeah.
Well, boy, you know, living on home place.
Yeah.
He's put a fair house just like yours. That GP, you know, where the camphor trees in there. You might have noticed that new roof. Well, his roof was like mine. And I said, I'm not letting the man paint it. But he let the man paint his barn, same one that painted mine. The big shed where we got the boards, and also the big barn where we got the hay and the 2 sheds on each side. But I said, I wasn't going to pay him no $90 to paint the house.
Okay, I never heard of that. That's new. That'd be worth looking into.
But
now, is that just for tin roof?
Yeah. You can't have it on anything else.
He sprays it on there. And it's asphalt?
Asphalt's aluminum. Asphalt-based aluminum. It's something new and it's good.
Yeah.
Well, his boy's daddy, you know, sprayed that house, you know, when, I don't know, back in the 30s, I reckon, the 40s. And that's the same roof that come on the house. It never had been a new one on it. And it's got 2 little leaks on the front part of the house and in the body part here, in the big living room where them big chairs are.
Yeah.
And the leaks are right close to the one of these folding, you know, beds.
Yeah.
You know, you can use it for a sofa, or you can fold it out and you know, 2 people sleep on it.
Yeah.
The same as the extra bed. It's not one of them layaway, you know, some of them fold up and go in the wall. That's where my sister-in-law had one down there in Tampa.
Yeah.
That you know, fold it up and it goes into the wall. But this here is just a regular one. And right next to it is 2 leaks about, I'd say about 8 foot apart. That's the only leaks that's in the house. In the whole house. That roof has been on there all that length of time.
That's hard to believe.
And GP is the same way he had here that daddy did when he lived in. Oh, that's where the camphor tree is. But his boy, you know, after married, why then they decided to put a new roof on it. So we got the Morgan boys to come and put the roof on there. And the Morgan boys, well, one of them got tied up, and he got one of the Gill boys. You know, the Gill color boy? Of course, they're good workmen.
You know, they've left the Smith brothers.
Yeah, I what to say. Got one of them to help them.
And they're off on their own.
Yeah. Well, they can find plenty to do.
Good Lord. Ain't that so?
Yeah.
They have.
Well, the idea is, Smith, he didn't want to pay anything, you see. And I'm bored of capable of doing and be demanding more money, even if they had to join the union. You can't blame them. They got another age. That Bright Skelton, he's yet as old as I am.
He couldn't keep them fellas without paying them, could he?
No. That's rubble. In other words, he didn't keep them because he wasn't paying them.
Is that right?
finally got $3 an hour. Well, you know what that kind of men now get now at that Gainesville. You know what they get. Well, I just a punk out there and started me off $4 an hour out there, and I was up there 8 hours a day, $32 a day. And some of them fellas know would get more than that. And just, them boys who were next to me, some of them getting $6 a day.
Yeah.
In other words, them Smith boys, why they were getting the money, in other words. Caesar Jr.'s wife was paying, in other words. He built him a new home. He's spending about $15,000 on that old home here. Been better to him to start it and tore it all out of the way and went on and built one.
Yeah.
That's what I said here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth, in other words. You might not believe it, but you ask Baxter sometime, you, how much money he got into repairing it and see what he'll tell you. He won't ever tell nobody, don't imagine. But I know it cost him some money.
Well, what are you going to do at the back end of that?
I'm going to lay it down on a pole, and if my tractor won't do it, I'm going to get another tractor and two tractors to pull it on skids.
And do what with it?
Pull it out there in the lot and use it for a hay barn. It's got a...
Use it for a hay barn?
You know, got a 9-foot ceiling on it.
All that kitchen and good room there?
Yeah, make a good one. It's got a 9-foot ceiling.
Well,
right,
you
door.
Could make a hay barn with less trouble. You
no, you couldn't. You can't. You can't build one. You can't build anything now for less than $500 or $600 or $700.
Oh.
And you can't get too much out of that. The colored man wants to bid on the house. And I said, well, I'll let you have it. I said, I may use these doors, though, like your door there. So better than what you can buy now. You can buy these old warp door, you know, made out of little plywood and worth 3 cents.
All that good back in there.
And
I
said, I got four
there.
Five or six doors.
Why,
I'm going to keep. But
Lord, I'd love to live in that.
I said, that's where I've been living, in this back part here, kitchen. That's a good place to stay.
I just hate to see that house torn down, Harry.
Yeah, that's what they said, the children. They
take
them pictures, and they didn't know, you know, where they're going to turn up to, buddy, so this is real good. Reckon you you ever want this thing? Can I have it, children?
Well, I give it to you, but the only one I got, I may never get any more. Yeah, that's the thing about a photographer.
Yeah.
They'll just come and just snap all sorts of things. But
well, I know where it is. You don't want to let nobody else have it, are you?
No, I
take it
over
there.
I think, you know, in the thing, if I don't get one, you know, they supposed to take some, you know, and they did take some pictures when they're out there when they had the last reunion. I was asking the other day, it says, I didn't remember that oak tree there falling. I said, you haven't been here but once or twice, and you didn't, you know, went on up there to Ernest's.
Yeah.
And they pulled in that Sunday morning, and, well, I think they're getting the truck and go to church. And he saw them. He called them on the phone. They went over and had one of those $1.50, I believe. But they give you all the catfish in the world you can think about eating. And a good meal, too, you know, across the creek.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been over there or not. I've been over there a time or two.
No, I know.
Carried my sister-in-law, carried my brother from Jacksonville over there. But this boy, he came up, and both of them, the oldest boy came, too.
Yeah.
And they spent the weekend. And they told... they had the little cabin they got over there. It wasn't too big, but they carried some blankets and a pillow.
Let me tell you.
And the house was big enough, you know, slept on the floor, you know, just one
this
night.
Stuff, this stuff, he sprays that roof in, that's new.
Yeah, it's only been out about 3 or 4 or 5 years. It's not like what my daddy is. Now, it was aluminum paint, but it wasn't the kind, you know, to counteract that acid. What do they call it? It makes that rust.
But
you
it's still acid all that time.
Yeah, and it's still good. As I say, a metal roof is... If I build a house, I'm not using none of this stuff like you got on yours and like all these new people use. Ed Whitman, why, he done had to recover here. It ain't me on them to recover us. I just said, I got to repair mine, and it hadn't been there 5 years. Smith brother built here.
Yeah.
Isaac, he got to repair here.
Yeah.
That 3-in-1 shingle, you know what I mean?
Yes.
With a paper underneath it.
Yes.
And I said, you're going to sheet the thing anyhow. And I said, to do it, they say the roof is sweat. I said, well, put the paper underneath it. It'll take care of the moisture until it, you know, dries out. Put the paper under it. But I said, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to have it sealed. Go ahead and use it like you do a barn. Just put your doggone sheeting, you know, on 1x6. Sheeting. And pop the nails in other words. And put it into a good lumber. Don't put it in the softwood. Put it in cypress or some... pine, hard pine, where that nail is staying. There. They got the new kind of nail I bought some the other day.
Now you're talking about
screw.
Just the roll
paper, yeah, that's used underneath this roof here.
Yeah.
You can use that with a regular old knotty plywood, you know, for a base, and put tin on top of it. That's what they got on yours. They may got regular boards probably on yours, old type.
Yeah.
But now they're using a full base plywood, number two grade, see?
Yeah.
That's what I helped Smith and them build that $70,000 home in Williston.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's what
you gonna
put on
do with you? How are you going to do it?
I'm going to use a regular 6-inch
sheeting.
Cypress sheeting. And I'm going to seal it. You ain't going to hear the rain. Well, I used to like to hear the rain. You know,
I did too. What are you going to seal it with? That film?
Yeah. 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 Central air and heating, yeah. I'm going to use this rolled, you know, rock wool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I cut down the sound. I says, and you know if it sweats, it ain't going to hurt nothing.
Not
a hurt thing in the world. And I says, the galvanized is cheaper than this other one. It'll last longer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Anything happens with galvanized, you'd either change.
But they tell you on this stuff, it's guaranteed 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
But when it get to it, now what? Who's going to pay for refixing? They may have paid for her.
Yeah.
Area had to pay for his.
That's right.
Like you tell me about them bug men back to see him the other day. Done give him $300, and I said, well, they want another $100 or $200. Well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
They put the whole tent on everything, going to kill every bug or roach or old fly, anything in the world you had, you see.
You know Jack Heron?
Oh, yeah.
He got about wore out.
Yeah. He done drank so much beer and left until he...
But let me tell you what I did. I run across him over at Buck MacWeaver's.
Mm-hmm. Drinking beer.
Yes, him and his wife.
Yeah.
They didn't come by. They come by there to give Mac a message about a friend of theirs. Well, I like Jack, but Jack, he hadn't been... year two, he hadn't been able to talk to anybody. He might try to talk a little bit, and then he sort of loses his way and keeps on. This time he stopped. He talked. Now, I won't give the whole thing, but it was rich. It was rich, what he said. And I think what he did now, he jumped back 20 or 30 years, and he saw that country back there with them eyes. He had that dog, and it would run. You go out, he says, and take a sack, and it would hunt possums. If it seen you take a shotgun, it would hunt squirrels. Now he went on like that, and I said. That country over there. I said, I was over in that country the other day over that Maxie Mixon's. He got some country. He says you can't believe a word he says. He says everything he says, you've got to take a whole box of salt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and then he told about a dog he took over there, you
mm-hmm.
see. And it was all that fine old stuff, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They're buddies or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were. And he says, I tell you who included with it. He says it's several just the same way you have to. Anything they
take
say,
the
you take a box of salt. And he included old Lawrence Lightner.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I'd heard anybody talk lighthearted about Lawrence, you see. And I think he said GP, but I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
swear to it. There was, but Maxie was the chief one.
Yeah.
Maxie was the chief one. Now, was Maxie a big operator?
Yeah, yeah.
And he run dogs?
Yeah, 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 he went with, sure. But GP never run no dogs.
No. Well, maybe he didn't mean GP.
But
Maxie had dogs.
No, he kept a few dogs. He still got two or three dogs.
Yeah.
But Maxie, you know, they run all them. They crazy about hunting. All them mix them. Charlie and Wolver and all of Max's brothers and half brothers and all, they all crazy about hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in time comes, they try to hurry to get the crops in shape to leave it. When they go to the woods, you know, camp.
Yeah.
And heck with it, if wife don't want to go, let her stay home by herself.
Oh, they just going out there and camp.
Oh, yeah. Let them, if they don't want to go with them, I let them stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why they come to Max's. Carrie and Ivan May, I remember when they married, you know, when I was young, Carrie and Ivan May went with us down yonder to the Silver Glen. We hunted the National Forest.
Oh,
out
she
there.
Went down.
She
went too.
Yeah. Yeah, she went. And they had a tent and over and stayed in it. And all we boys, we ran the house, you know, and about 8 or 10 of us stayed in one of them cottages.
Yeah.
And I carried the old colored boy out there, you know, to court, you know, making a moonshine liquor.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get out. He says, I'm too old. And I says, mine is $500. I said, let J.C. his $150 because he's just carrying the water. J.C. didn't want him crying. His daddy came and told me to pay him out. So I said, I'll get you out in the morning. But he didn't want to spend the night. He wanted to get out that night, see. But you got, you know how it is. You got to go through a lot of rigmarole, you know, and mess around with anybody. And particularly then, you know, nigger would look down on them. And now and then, why, they'll do something for nigger cooking with a white person.
Oh, yes.
But then it was different,
yes,
see.
Yes, it was different.
So I said, I'll get you out in the morning. Well, he had to have some cigarettes. I said, I'll get you some cigarettes and bring them by there to you. Well, I got him 2 packs, and of course, soon they gave him to jail, you know, why, a bunch of bums in there, you know, they didn't last an hour, so he was out.
Yeah.
And I told him, get a night's sleep, and I went, I'd get him out in the morning.
Yeah.
And I left, see. I wasn't going to get some more cigarettes, you know, but I'm bums in there to beat him out, but he's just that tight. So I went down the next morning and paid him out, $150, and
but
he paid me back.
But you all hunted? Stayed down there a week?
Yeah,
week.
We stayed down there. We stayed down there 10 or 12 days.
Yes.
And
Baxter
carried his pickup and tent, and he and Iva May, they slept in the tent. Well, Jim, you know, Jim was the boy then. He went. That's when his boy,
yeah,
you know, was
a
young fella.
Yeah.
And he stayed with him. And they always called me Doc. And I stayed with him over, you know, a night or so with Jimmy, see.
Yeah.
And Iva May, you know, would cook, you know, and fix stuff, you know, inside the tent and stuff. And, I stayed a night or two with him, but I stayed over with them, and Aaron and I, we slept together, and that's when that doctor was cooking for us and looking out for keeping people stealing our stuff. Old Jim, he used to be a cook on the boat, and that's where they put him in the kitchen down there for making that liquor, and he got fatter than a fool and didn't want to get out when his time was out. He had it made, that's right, that's the way it is now. They treat him better than to get out, treat it outside. But
yeah.
J.C. wanted to get out, and he worked with him until he paid it back.
Yeah.
I think he paid back... Seemed like $5 a month, I believe it was. Because
yeah.
Then, you know, it wasn't making about 50 or 60 cents a day,
yeah.
75, I think, something like that. I don't know what it was. But now and then, you know, make more than that per hour. But then, you know, that much a day.
Yeah.
But $5, I believe, a month, you know, a lot of money back then. But he paid it back, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Then he worked for Ernie for a while then. He finally, you know, got down there with Huff, and he'd been with Huff and Joe Lee out there for years and years.
Yeah.
But he lost his license. He had a car and driving while intoxicated, so they're taking his license and drowning him.
Oh.
But somebody said he thought he still drove one of them, a Jeep or that truck of Huff once in a while
yet.
I don't know, but he may do it, you know, off the main road out there on the farm. But when they got him, while he was driving on the main road on the weekend or something, you know, drinking, see. He's buying chicken, you know. He never had mad for his girlfriend, in other words, and she was getting him drunk and getting all of his money. So you know how to work that.
Yeah.
But Max, in other words, while we'd hunt, and they had the dogs, you know, and two or three had several dogs in our party, and certain people don't handle the dogs.
Yeah.
And they came out there and turned them loose on Jar Hill. That Jar Hill, I'll never forget it. And they come off that Jar Hill, they run them in the Lake Delancey. And that's where I said, I want to be there when they come to get that water after the dog gets after him, get him hot. And he's going to come to that water. I want to kill him when he starts going in the water. But it's against the law to kill one in the water, in other words, a deer.
Yeah.
So down there, Uncle Ernest around that fella, and I heard him click, shoot, you know, bam, bam, like that. Didn't hear anything, and waited, you know, before I get, you know, back to my truck to go and see it. About a mile around the, you know, big place. Get the truck, go around and see who'd kill one, whether one of our party or somebody else. Well, I heard another shot, and I said, I wonder what that is. Come to find out why he wounded the doggone thing, and he's about to kill him with his antlers, and he blowed him, shot him in off close. Of course, a deer cut you to pieces with his horns or his hoofs, either one. He'll eat you up, same as a tiger. And after he shot the other time to finish him off, he just blew his whole bruise and all, shot him underneath the hand, just cut his windpipe and all of that last time. He knew he wouldn't breathe no more when he done that up, you know, close him in that cabinet over there. And he had a nice buck, Uncle Ernest did. So we came to camp, you know, and skinned him, you know, and had some good to live, you know. Some of them wanted to roast some on the coals, you know, like they used to do in the hog killing. And I said, no, it's fire stuff. Let Jimmy cook it with onions. That'll take some of that wild taste out.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, he cut up some onion on, steamed it, smothered it, you know, and poured water on it. And it was pretty good to eat. And had rice, I think. Cooked rice to go with it. Yeah. But Max is right there with us. But the others, Charlie and them, they go and have their own camp, in other words. But they went on a river road around now.
Yeah.
But,
we
stayed at Silver Glen, down on cabin, and we didn't use
that
camp
when,
and stuff.
That's
see?
When Max's boy was
that's
just
when
growing
he,
up.
Yes, yeah, when he just a, you know, teenage boy, a good big boy.
Well,
he was in,
at that time, there's plenty of land right in there with deer and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have to go down to that place.
Well, I was getting the timber over here in the 40s, and I had plenty of deer this side of the river on you to kill them. Now, every time I go over and get a load of poke for Sasha or some of the neighbors, that man say, come on, we'll go down and kill one tonight, right down in the corner, pea patch. Come on. I said, no. I said, against the law, they put me under the jail. Said, well, when you come back next time, I'll have you some in the freezer. So next time, he'd have a damn front quarter, and I wouldn't put it behind the seat on that old 1939 or 44 truck. And I'd come on out of there. It'd be frozen, though, wouldn't it? It'd be all right, you know, when I got home. Put it in the refrigerator. They'd throw out some more and cut it up and make stew meat out of it or something, in other words. There wasn't no steak much on the front court. But they kept plenty of venison. I'm more over there this side of the river. But a lot of people hunted away on this side of the river.
Yeah.
But we went inside, in other words, and hunted, and we next to that lake, and that's where they'd head there, either the river. But though to get the river, they'd come across the river, and that's when they'd hunt on, get on this side of the river, and some of them had better luck on this side than would on the other side.
Yeah.
But down at Jarhead, in other words, is when they'd go out there and make a drive on that ridge and say, well, we got to have some meat for the camp. Kill a little spike. If he's not a spike, let it be a butthead, a young one. Not let it be an old doe, you know what I mean? They ain't 15. And all we did, the first thing they done, they gunned it, and the game warden had supper with us the next night and ate some of that deer, that doe. But that's the reason I broke up with them. There were too many drunks in there, and they played poker and drank whiskey and talked all night, and you couldn't rest in at night. And I said, I'm getting out, and I just quit the whole deal.
But that's recent.
No, that's been 15 years ago. I ain't since I've been out.
That much?
Yeah, I killed that last deer. I quit 2 years after I killed that deer, and that was in 50.
57, your daddy died.
Well, I believe it. I killed that deer in 54, 55.
Yeah.
Before he died. I killed it about 54, 55.
Yeah.
And I quit, you know, about time Papa died. 56, 57, I quit going all together. So that's been a good while ago.
Yeah.
You know, left the camp and all of them. You know, that's when they wanted to get to drinking. And my job was cleaning up behind them in the kitchen, you know, cleaning up the mess and cooking.
Yeah.
My job down in Max and them. I went over to stay with Jim and them because I had the doctor. He could, you know, do the washing the dishes and cleaning up.
Yeah.
That's what I had him for, to keep the people from stealing stuff. And we paying him, you know,
yeah.
And the camper, in other words. We had a pot, in other words, and we bought the grocery, then we split it, in other words. Then they said they got through, I just take the value of it, in other words. Then if there's any left, then we get it, in other words, back, you see, from the treasure.
Yeah.
See?
Well, now, where was it they were playing poker and cussing?
I was over here at Rough Hammer when they're doing all that. That's where I killed the last deer that I killed.
Well, now, was that that same crowd?
Some of the same one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the same ones over here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in many, it was over yonder, wasn't it? Well, Ayer and Mondo City, I reckon, was about the only two it was over yonder, it was still over here.
Yeah.
And then Maxie. And,
Maxie never played poker.
No. No, he didn't play no poker.
He didn't cuss much.
No, but it's called Pepper. One of them. And J.K. Harrison, you didn't know him, did you? But J.K., he played a poker, but he didn't cuss. Seemed to be a pretty good solid fella.
But what? Now, you see, old Jack Herring, you see, it's just a flash.
He said take
it. It's just a flash, you see. And then his mind left him.
Yeah. Bought the soul.
But there for a flash, it seemed like he could just bring that up again. And he said he let Maxie have that dog of his. Maxie borrowed it. And he said he'd had it 2 or 3 years, and he brought it back, and he says, just go on and keep it. And he says he was over there one day, and the dog, Maxie went in there to feed his hogs, and that dog followed him. And that big old boar hog came up to Maxie and was just, you know how a boar hog will grunt, and I don't know what you call it. You know when they just come up and they're begging for something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And that dog didn't know what it was, and he lit in on that boar hog, and Maxie said to Jack, he says, I didn't know he'd do that.
Didn't know he'd do that, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So that dog, what Jack was saying was, that dog would do anything
That's the way they had a lot of them trained back in that day. I know fellow out there, you said, just like Jack said, he'd actually do it. You get your gun, and he know you're going squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
He let you know where the squirrel, what tree you're in.
You get a sack, and he knows you're
going
to do something else.
Going possum hunting. Get a sack, going to the cemetery, you know, get some possum down.
Yeah.
And he'd carry you and tree them, you know, run them up the cemetery when he's eating the cinnamon in the ride, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you put the box on the car, you know, like old man Rush, in other words, you know, you're going, you know, after fox.
Yes.
Fox or wildcat, they run them. Old Carl Nolan, they had some, you know, do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
They know when you're going fox.
Yeah.
And wildcat hunting.
And
they
were shift. I didn't know dogs would do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know they
could
do that.
We run them for about 5 or 6 hours one night like that. We run one of those damn mounted cats. What you call those? Pumas. Panther.
Oh,
Panther. Really? Puma or Panther.
Pumas.
Yeah, I'm low-legged thing.
Yeah.
And I think about to get us scared.
Yeah.
We back on that big hammer. And we knew anything, of course, and they got a hold of it. We done had a sack full of coons, and we couldn't carry them, and we left them over on the next to that Johnson Lake Road.
Yeah.
And decided we'd come on back. We had to come back, you know, to get somewhere to go there and get them.
Yeah.
The coons, some of them weigh 25 pounds apiece. You know what heavy coons are.
Yeah.
Back in those days, the coons the biggest dogs are. You know how the big-sized dog, in other words, you wouldn't tow him very far before you get tired. And through them woods, too, while we left them over, you know, where we knew, and we going to come all the way back through, Little Rockin', and Big Rockin', Little Rockin', come on out Plantation, come on top of the hill over there.
Yeah.
And we'd have, that's where we had the truck, see?
Yeah.
And then we're going around and get the coons, in other words. But we got back there next to one of Rocky Pond, I don't know where, Big Rock or Little Rock, and it hit this trail.
Yeah.
And it was one of those Plymouths things. So that devil thing was like a darn bear or something.
Oh, yeah.
It got pretty close to us at one time. We got pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But what he was doing, he'd go a tree and we'd get up and pretty close with I'm landing, I'm a ladding gas landing, you know what I mean, with two ladles on it, you know, two burners. And he'd jump out.
Oh.
And they must have been pretty mild. Sometimes he'd rip a dog, you know, and make him howl and raise the devil.
Yeah.
We knew it wasn't, you know, regular darn cat or something though, because 3 or 4 of them hounds we had. Carl had some would tear up something though.
Yeah.
Carl had about 3 dogs that were really out of this world.
Yeah.
Had one old blue and he had to be plenty done good. He'd only done dog I ever seen by himself could whip a coon by himself. You've heard people one dog can't whip a coon.
Yeah.
But old blue was the only one that I ever known couldn't whip a coon by himself.
Yeah.
But we got kind of scared and that thing, you know, got pretty close to us on the next Tupagum Pond. And that thing come down out of that tree, and he put it close and made some racket. And, well, you couldn't outrun him, though. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he done knocked the shit out of 2 or 3 of them dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to go blind or just let it all fly one time. You heard that old saying. Don't call him out and tell you the same thing. Johnny Nixon, he would call himself. He's in the bunch.
Yeah.
And I believe, I don't know where I was with us not. There's about 4 or 5 of us with them out there. But those dogs, you know, that Carl had, why, you put them on, you know, a deer trail, he's on a deer. And then you, you know, go out hunting, why, and he'd run the coons, and they'd come across when he'd done puma or wildcat or somebody, they'd take after him. But in the daytime, you get your gun, as Jack said, in other words, why, I had a little Fife, Fox Terrier and Fife Cross,
yeah.
Little dog I called Lady.
Yeah.
And I had the convict camp there next to me then, you know, where they kept the horses, you know, for county road working.
Oh.
That years ago, and I had the little dog, and they fell in love with this little dog, and some of them stole that little dog.
Ah.
Well, it was all right. I had a puppy, a couple of puppies off of her coming along. But that little dog, in other words, and I'd get my shotgun in the afternoon, about 2 to 3 o'clock, and go out squirrel hunting. My dog let me know, you know, see him up there. They'd be sitting up eating on the hickory or white oak acorn.
Yeah.
And I'd kill him and mess squirrel in a little while.
Yeah.
So he'd carry me to the tree, you know, where they were.
Yeah.
I'd save him sitting down waiting, you know, half hour. And used to, you know, well, recently, well, you got to have patience to sit down and wait on them. But used to, you know, go out most any time, kill him, that squirrel without a dog or with one or whatnot. But what I used, that little dog was to carry him in the piney woods for little fox squirrels. So you get one of them, you got some meat. And you boil that booger down, you pressure cooked him, and throw some homemade butter. I'm not talking about margarine, you know, like you use nowadays. Homemade butter in there, and about 3 cups of rice and that squirrel in a big pot. And you had something good to eat.
I never eat them.
That's something good to eat. Yeah, that's kind of. Pressure cook that booger, in other words, get him done.
They are slow. Couldn't miss them.
It's fine. In other words, you got to walk, you know, a lot of distance. That little dog would help you locate him, you know, and let you know what pine tree you're in. He'd trail him.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you see him, you know, in the woods, you know, they get out and see his tail, he's going across the wood like a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And that dog would trail him and get into a tree. That dinner was out of this world. I sure enjoyed it.
I believe
you went through a little extra trouble.
I think she did too, Eric. I think she must have been celebrating. Yeah. What were you celebrating?
Any anniversary or anything?
No, just Eric coming.
You don't have to give it to me now. You can wait until you get the rest of it, unless you want to get it off your hands. I got half of it yet.
Let me tell you. You know, The worst thing about people trading, you see, if you go to the store, you pay for it.
Yeah.
But if you trade around amongst your neighbors, you see, you won't pay for it. and you just keep holding up. So I just soon keep a thing and sell it to most people, you know, because I know.
Well, I've been the same way, you know.
I'm not going to get the money.
People have things. They just, you know, put it off and finally you keep on and you come to think about it, well, don't believe they ever paid me for so-and-so.
I stole 25 or 30 cows here one time to a fella I knew pretty well, and he had all loaded up. You see, that's the hell of it. You don't want to load them up and then start transacting business.
No,
You don't transact business first.
Well, you load them up.
And he said to him, well, I'm all loaded up. I'll just wait till tomorrow to pay you. I said, the hell you will.
That's what you told him.
Yes.
Well, what the matter? He didn't have his checkbook, or he wanted to put it off a few months ago.
Just the same thing like that.
Yeah.
You see? He just let it dangle.
Yeah, dangle.
Well, I didn't want to let 25 cows dangle.
No.
I might not see him
another
month.
That's
Lord help us. I never did believe. I tell you what, I never owed people.
It used to be a man word was good as bond, but it didn't take me too long to find out. You know, I didn't work too good, and I come back from a deal over in Hastings, working in the mashed potatoes. The boy started, he cut out on his acre a little bit, and I guess he'll be able to handle it. I got him started last year, you know, wet till that last year. But he's already started digging.
Yeah.
But I reckon maybe he'll do all right, now. But he got to learn sometime, though. He's out of school, and he knows what the deal is. I didn't go over there, but I've been wanting to go over and, you know, and see how he was getting along or something. Like, no, I would be willing to help.
You let me tell you, Eric. You know, old Buzz, you know the colored man out there, we talked about.
Yeah.
Old Buzz.
Yeah, he used to work for me.
Yeah.
He worked for me up there on the Skanaxi Hall Ranch.
I didn't know he worked for you.
Yeah, we worked with Canapa Hall, but he's under me. He's under my jurisdiction. I was a superintendent of the job.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good worker, but he's, I don't know, Edward, and I'm ruining him. He got a little smart. But he's a pretty fair darky. But
let me tell you, Edward, I'll tell you what I found, and you work a lot more than I have. You see, they just can't learn fast.
No.
And you can't teach them much.
No.
And there's no two ways about it now. You see, they were brought up like that from the very start. So, actually, you see, when they start popping off, they don't have much to say.
No.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because you expect, well...
But he came up, and he's pretty good. I said, now, if you'd have marked those colts, why, they wouldn't have died, see? You ain't tore it out yet, have you?
I tore no stuff.
That's on the citizen of that's a fence on Gainesville.
Yeah.
I used to do business with them for years and years.
Yeah.
Mrs. Evans. You know Mrs. Evans? I believe that's her name. Evans?
Yeah.
on the left you go in?
Yeah.
She was a friend.
Now there's another one. This is the...
But Buzz, now what about, he learned, you know, how to, you know, mark pigs and mark horses.
Yeah.
And a pretty good worker, and knew how to do a little carpenter work, and knew how to do a little fence building, and he's a pretty good hand.
That's an extra good hand.
Yeah, that's what I say. You know, knew that you had somebody knew something, you're going to have to be watching him all the time.
Yeah.
But then, he got a little bit, you know, kind of up there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Acted like, you know, he wanted more money than what most of them was getting, see?
Yeah.
And I said, ain't nobody else getting that. I says, this is key, $1.60 an hour. Now I says, the head man that's kind of keeping the men going, why, they're paying him $1.75. But I said, you can't expect to go in and get, you know, what they're paying the head man they got, in other words. For the simple reason, I'm other boy, that's some of them making $1.40 and some of them making $1.60. But he'll pay you $1.60. That's still, you know, 20 cents more an hour than what, you know, Carnes is getting, and Carnes has been up here, you know, for 25 or 30 years. He worked for Caesar Junior Daddy. And I said, now you want to go in and get 20 cents an hour more than he did, and that's not enough. But as I say, he's pretty fair hand, but that's the only objection I have to him. He's a little bit on the smart side.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know, he's always had women on his mind, too. You know, like most artists.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's got them on his mind, too. But he's a pretty good worker. And I got along pretty good with him. But when you need him, what you had, you going to have to do something for you, or what you going
to... No, I run into him up there and talk to him for half an hour.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's...
I thought maybe you got him to mark your bull calves or something.
No, I was going to get him to help me sometime, but hell, he's too far along. You see, he wouldn't help me.
But
he's too important.
Yeah, he's got the age on him. He's getting a pretty good check, you know.
Yeah.
And he got that nice car. He got some old Becca down there. He worked with Becca and bought that an old man. He retired, you know.
Yeah.
He moved his trailer down there somewhere and married him a young woman, though, and turned it over to Allie.
Yeah.
So Becca's got him a young woman now.
Now, let me tell you, this is so heavy.
Yeah. The old man, Becca Allie and Daddy, he got him married a young woman. Yeah, this last time.
What is it?
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, his wife did. Allie's mother. So he wasn't mad, you know, he was living out of town with Allen, but they're in partnership with the cows, in other words.
Well,
then he went with
Bob Becker.
Oh, this is a different Becker.
Oh,
this is one of the Wright brothers.
Oh, I see.
This Becker was J.L. Wright. You've heard of the Wright. Remember on J.L. Wright. Big cow men. M.C. Wright. His daddy was up in the harbor. He died of a heart attack in Georgia.
I see.
But he turned it over to Allen, and he moved down here to South Florida somewhere and got him a trailer and... But before he left, old Bud bought that white Chrysler automobile. He got a white Chrysler.
Yeah.
But it's about a 65, I think. That's 67.
Care of it. Lasts forever.
And that's a good car.
Lasts forever.
Yeah.
If you'll take care of it. Now, this fella, this colored fella, that's an old field hand, and he helps one of the Mrs. Zetrowers.
Yeah, he was there.
Helps Frankie every now and then.
Yeah.
Jesse?
Yeah.
Cox.
That's him.
Huh?
He quite a car.
Now, is he at Brushline?
Yeah. He was there right there. You know where Jiffy Light in the lead?
Yeah.
Right across some roads, about a mile in them woods.
Yeah.
And he owned Poplar back there.
Well, now, he's a good worker.
Yeah, he's slower, but he's a good worker.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I stopped there at old Kelly Bardee's one day. Kelly, Caesar wasn't there. But Miss Party was there, and she had them two hands back there. She did, and I walked back there. just visiting as well. One of them was a woman, had on her white maid's clothes, and a little baby girl out there on a pallet. And old Jesse was there. And I was glad to see Jesse. And you know, he had on these balloon breeches and all, like we all used to wear. You know, I used to wear them. I never wore clothes when I was out in the field. And you know, he just talked, he just chattered, just talked to Blue Streak. Just talked to Blue Streak. I don't know now, I couldn't
tell. Well, he's an interesting fellow. He's pretty well up to date. He ain't no dummy. But he's a good old boy. He always had been a good boy.
He talk like it.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
He talk like it.
He's a little slow. He's aged now, of course. He's just already 65, 68 years old.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't look it.
But he gets some age on him. But he just works just a little part-time one thing. Now, I get him once in a while, and I told him I want him again. I said, Jesse, I want you to cut the bushes. And I said, I'll pile them and I'll pour in the stumps. You cut the bushes with a bush hook and an axe. You know, that's the way he did before. And then I poured them, you know, in the tank, you know, with this ortho, I believe, what kind I got. Either that or this other. Weed on or some kind of name of it. I believe mine's ortho, weed killer. And he said, all right, I'll let you know. He said, I'll help Mr. Albert two or three pieces of days. Then Frankie had me helping a little bit. And GP had had me a little bit. I could go around GP's pasture fence, you know. And then he said, but I'll help you sometime. But he said he wasn't working regular no more.
He'll
do a little pigeon job. Maxie used to use him some.
Yeah.
Maxie done it when they cut his timber, and he thought they were going to move every sprig of top and everything in the field.
Yeah.
But he got fooled. It wasn't in the deal. That was George Pacific. But he said if he'd have gotten Coon Young, you know, that other Sugar Man Boyd, if he'd have gotten them, said they'd have, you know, moved the top part. But George Pacific said, no, that wasn't in the deal. But said, we got the machine out here. We'll bring the blade and we'll pile on top, you know, for actual cost, since you don't feel like it were. But that boy told me, and Max, in other words, he got kind of smart. He said, I finally told him, if you're in my yard, and I appreciate you, go right out that concrete walk and the gate and not come back in there anymore.
Maxie?
That's what he told Maxie.
Oh, Maxie. That's what he told
Maxie? He told Maxie, yeah. Maxie went to see him.
And he was a little bit too sharp.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he kind of put him in his place. Said, I hate it because he's old enough to be my daddy. That's what Freddie, I've been knowing him Hale boy ever since his boy. He's a lot younger than I am. Hale, he's been about 40 years old.
Well,
and he said, I just lost the temper. He said, I felt sorry about it. My wife got after me, he said, after I left. But he said that he just got on my nerves and him popping off like he was doing, in other words. And I told him that I wasn't in the deal, which it wasn't, and he had proof it wasn't. But then still Max and I wasn't wanting him to, you know, do all that free work. And he finally said, well, you're on my pocket, in other words, so you just, I appreciate it if you just go right out the gate here on the concrete walk like you come in and not come back on my place anymore.
Rub it down. Let me tell you, was Maxie always just a little bit dense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you see these earphones in here. He can't hear thunder.
He's
got that television over there. And you know what?
And he don't, that's the excuse for not coming to church with his wife. He can't hear the preacher. But I told him my daddy had one, and I offered it to Lois, you know, Max's sister.
Yeah.
But she had the money, you know, and went on and got her one, you know, because
yeah.
He's here a little bit, see, when she's driving. Now she's not driving. But I had my daddy's, and it was one of those bell tones. They're supposed to be one of the best, you know,
yeah.
Bell tone, you know, made, and I don't know, Dad paid.
Well,
he paid, I reckon, $150 for it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I was over there at every, I just stopped in and, you know, just joined with him a little bit. And he's nervous. Don't get out that day. And he had that little old jigger, you see.
Yeah.
Put on
the little
to hear this.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't enough.
No.
And I said to him, Maxie, I know a fella who can fix you up on that where you won't have any trouble here at all. He didn't even say hello.
There you go. Well, that goes to show, you know, he done forgot more than you'll ever know, and he's going to do it his way, and he's tight and stingy, and he don't want no ideas from you, nor nobody else. That's the kind of fellow. He always been that way. You can't advise him. But what he said is all authentic. Authentic. Oh. It's the gospel truth, that old saying is, whenever you tell you anything, but you can't tell him anything.
Well, let me
if you ain't
you.
Been around him enough, you'll find it out.
Okay. He paid $195.
He told me about $200.
Yeah.
And it's still not no satisfaction.
Oh, he took it back and got his money back.
Yeah.
And
well, if somebody like that, I said, well, if that's the way you feel about
that,
it, let him not hear nothing.
That
isn't
same day, he took me back there and showed me that little riding mower. He said it was the first one ever he ever had that worked. But right behind it was that
tractor.
Yeah. With the rear end out of it.
Yeah.
And who did he get to work on that? Ellis.
Yeah, Weitz. Ellis.
Huh?
Ellis Weitz. Yeah, Ellis said, I got to work on it, and said he wants to trade it and get him a Cub, but he said Max don't need no kind of tractor. That's what Ellis said.
He threw.
Said he don't need none, but he still wants to get, he wants to get a Cub.
Yeah.
A little smaller. But as Ellis said, his age and the way he's getting, he don't need any. He's liable to get hurt on one of them.
Yeah.
They're liable to do him like he did old Dr. Evans up there making over, get on top of him and eat him up. See,
Ellis,
he would be in bad shape. But Ellis Weitz, he's a good fella. He knows what's what, and what he tell you can kind of depend on it. But he tells Max, in other words, he's a mechanic.
Who is Ellis Weitz?
He's a mechanic, what you call a, he's a machinist and a mechanic too.
Where?
Diesel and
where
machinist.
From? Williston?
No, he lives right out there in our neighborhood.
Well, where's he work?
He's not working, he's about half blind, and he's drawing the money from Craig Construction Company for the year. He's with them about 25 years, big construction company in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And he gets a little pension from them. And I believe he's about old enough to get a little Social Security now. I think he's already, I believe he's already 62. He's older than I am. I'm 61. I think he's already.
What construction company?
Craig.
Yeah.
And he worked for Henderson Land Company one time. Henderson Land and Building Company or something. You
yeah.
heard of Henderson?
No.
Henderson, it's a big outfit. They're millionaires.
Let me tell
and
you.
That Craig Construction, they ain't no little outfit.
If,
big people.
If Maxie's got a fella there that knows something about it and will tell him something, he'll listen to him. I wish I had somebody.
Well, I was with them, but Ellis said, I got to get over that next on the program, in other words. And somebody said, well, he says, Bill Anderson, he says, you got to fix mine. He says, I just had it up there, and they charged me about $40 for another starter, a generator. I thought it was. For his aid. He got one like Max's. And he said, it's still, in other words, it knocks the battery out. It won't run. Got a coil on it. And Ellis said, well, maybe it's the pluat is wrong one. He said, no. He says, they checked that and said that was right. But there's something another wrong with it. And he says, I done been up there with them and gonna give them the money and it's not fixed. And he said, I want you to look at it. So finally, Bill, I met him one day, and he's driving. He got the thing started. He's driving up there. Well, he said, I can't get Willie to look at nothing. He's too lazy to do anything. That's his neighbor, Willie Chitty. That's what Bill said about his neighbor. Willie's, you know, at the point where he quit. He quit. Knocked off, period. Because Mark said he wouldn't fix the light switch in, you know. You know, run a wire down the wall and put a light switch on it. Toggle
yeah.
switch on it. Want to do away with the old, you know,
yeah.
pull chain.
Mark,
and he says it's all that, you know, where you can see it. It wasn't even sealed, you know, when you had the kitchen. You run the wire right down by the stud, see? You know what I mean? And he said, Willie said, yeah, I'll get to it and kept on with it. And Willie says, Mr. Chitty says, I don't mean to be rushing him. He stopped and bull skating with us. We were working on that man's fence up there, you know, where your road goes out.
Yeah.
And this Mark Nickin, that same fellow I was telling you about, he was working with us. He said, Mr. Chitty, I don't mean to tell you, but he said, who's watermelon now? And he said, they're mining Everett's. And Mark said, there's two of them over next to the tree of mine, see. That Evan boy, you know, gave them two nice watermelon, you know. There wasn't no curl, was, you know, like you can Jackson for $1.25, $1.50. And Willie, you know, I think wanted one, you know. I don't know why he wanted to carry on up there and give some of the foreman a big shot that Evan went up the university or not. Air said he got one or two up there. I think that he's you know, it, in other words, and that's the reason it says he can get out, you know, not wait no Sunday works, days. Now here, he got pulled Sunday. Well, he won't pull no Sunday. That was a deal. Well, he's a deacon, in other words, that's all right, but there it says, I'm a steward, too, the master. But still, he's waking on Sunday.
Tell Faye how you put your Sunday in. I mean, your weekend, you see? Every weekend is busier than his week, Faye.
That's about right. And I told my brother, I was fixing to get in and go to Sunday school. And that's when Ollie come up. He told my brother and them went over to have supper. I'm going to try to get by early enough where it won't interfere with him going to church. And I fixed to come out and get my son, and they toot the horn. That Bonneville Pontiac blew the horn at me coming up the road.
Yeah.
And I looked. I didn't recognize who it was. First thought it, you know, was Ernest's wife. Got a Buick, you know, and Buicks look kind of like a Pontiac or something, that General Motors.
Now, what time was that?
That was about a quarter of ten.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to go to Sunday school, you know, quarter to ten.
Yeah. So they didn't linger.
They got talking about everything, about all that rigmarole, got that boy, you know, Ken folks, you know, of Alec, Glenn's wife, you know, dying, her getting the property and selling the cow, another one, getting a big chunk of money out of that and putting in escrow. Now they ain't going to have several years to settle the estate, you know, but she's going to try to run the founder. Well, they talked about everything, and finally wound up by the house, and Leala said, won't you just tear the top off that house and remodel it? They got all kind of board, this aluminum siding and this, that, you can put on that other board, in other words. Says, nobody can see, you know, about how fine. I said, yeah, I like wearing these clothes, getting a tuxedo and $50 shoes and all, and nobody knows the difference. You heard that ad on the paper. Said, that'd be the same way about your house. Go ahead and put that siding on now.
Yeah.
I said, Tom, put it on that head. No,
well, ordinarily, though, you got the whole morning, you see, at church.
Yeah, that's right. And get off while then some of the cousins or something, all the kids wanted me to go home with them Sunday before last for dinner. That's Johnny's kids, you know, to eat dinner. Wasn't you going to eat dinner? Then it's down to 2 o'clock before you get back.
Yeah.
Any time to mess around, maybe change the cow from one pasture to another. By any time, then it'll go back again. Church, see?
Yeah.
So that just takes up the Sunday.
Yeah.
And Saturday is the time at the town day.
Yeah.
You got colored people. I usually like to go to town on Saturday.
Yeah.
I just go and buy a few groceries. I usually go to Planter Pride. Now last week I was busy and I didn't have too much time, so I stopped at Publix on 34th Street.
Yeah.
And they had some specials on, in other words, and I said, well, I believe I'll stop there. A little nearer than Pants Pride. It's about 4 miles on across town, you know. And you go 75 and get off, you know, that the first exit and turn to the left, and you go on in Publix right on the right, and you park easy and get away from that easy. So I wasn't up there on Reagan Saturday. I left the house at 10 and I was back home before dinner time.
Yeah.
Then I come by the Baker too and got me, wife got me under that. I got me some bed.
It was Saturday I saw you.
Yeah.
Was
that the Baker or what was that?
No, at the house there.
Oh.
Didn't I see you out the house? I come by there sometimes. Hell, I get all mixed
up. Yeah, that's when it was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's when you had your buddy, Gainville buddy with you. I believe you. And he and his wife.
Oh, the two of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man and his
yes.
wife. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You know what they're looking for? Just like everybody else. They want to buy the countryside.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
No.
What do they need with 20 or 30, 40, 50 acres out there?
That's where people are.
Whatever. But Saturday night you had to go out somewhere. Ocala?
Yeah, afternoon. I was going to ride it to see a cousin of his. Well, it's his sister's husband. It had a partial stroke, and he's in bed, and it affected his speech a little bit and one leg.
Yeah.
And he can't move, and he got now where they... You know, he can't feed himself too well.
Yeah.
And he's awfully tender. He worked for the utilities, meter reader for 20-some-odd years and retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's still working at the shirt factory.
Yeah.
She's making, I don't know where her job is, making the buttonholes or collar work. It's either collar work on these shirts at the shirt factory, either the buttonholes. And she's been there for a long while, that shirt factory there. And she started for her son is the superintendent of the that big shirt company. He got a good job with them Jews.
But
but I was going with Isaac, you know, before training union that afternoon, see?
Yeah.
And Isaac said we'd go, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock and did not stay with him too long because he's tender-hearted and, you know, be rough on him because he's, I don't know, sometimes he'll break up and cry, you know, and take on.
Sure.
And talking about, you know, things that happened way back and he'd never be any good, you know, doing anything else. It's like pathetic, you know, to see people in the condition he's in. Of course, he couldn't help it, just one of them things.
And then you had to get back for training?
Yeah, then had to get back training union.
Yeah.
But he kept me going to church.
Now, that training union, I have never been in on anything like that.
Well, it's for young people and also for adults. People used to think it more or less for a young one, but it's good training for adults. Dancer, say, of course, he's a little off him. You met him? Dancer.
I've heard
y'all talking about it. But he's a little erratic.
Yeah.
But the old thing is, a person never get too old to learn something. It don't matter where you go or what you do, it no matter who you work with or whatnot, it don't matter how smart you think you are, the dumbest person in the world can come up and show you something.
If you haven't ever had
that experience, why, you never have done very much in your lifetime.
If you can just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I tell them. But I've had experience a lot of time, and most people agree with you if that's the truth.
Yeah.
If people, in other words, that right at the university, I said, how do you put all that confidence in me and tell old Dr. Hinges, the Oklahoma scholar that I call him? I don't know where you all met him or not.
No, don't talk. I don't care.
Don't make fellows up there.
No. Hinges. I don't care for him.
He said, I wasn't around you 2 weeks, and so I knew, you know, what you talking about, he said.
Old man Smoke never comes around?
Harry?
Yeah.
No, he goes up and see them widow women up there once in a while. He's up the other day, and I said, how are the widow women coming? He nodded his head. You know, that's Alice and Lois?
Yeah.
That's when we were saving out the oats, you know, we combine the seed.
Yeah.
And we got 225 bushels, I believe.
Yeah.
Ten acres.
Yeah.
Well, Elbert Zetra, I thought there'd be about 30 bushels an acre. I said, isn't that much, because, you know, weather condition, it didn't come up right, see?
Well, now,
but then we cut it down, we got a little over 6 tons of straw, in other words, as I say, you get more out of the straw than you do out of hay.
Yeah.
Give you $32.50 a ton, and you put it on that wagon, and they unload it. You pull it down there behind your pickup.
Yeah.
I brought both the empty wagons behind my pickup and fill them, and Lodge said, I'll carry one and let Jake carry the other, and you go ahead and bail. And I told him, all right.
Yeah.
So he and Jake carried the one to fill them up, had 100 bales on one and 90 bales on the other.
Is Jake doing all right?
And Jake, he carried one wagon, and his daddy carried the other.
Somebody said Jake wasn't doing too well.
No, he got on a bang with this old fella staying with Miss Hooper up here, you know, Miss Hooper's buddy.
Oh.
You know, you all meet Miss Hooper?
Uh-huh.
She's got a buddy staying with her, and he's a veteran. He gets a pension, and, he's terrible.
He stays
drunk half the time.
Yeah.
Right down. He gets Jake, and Jake got to run him down, and Lawrence said to Jake and that farmer boy, said, I don't know what they're going to do, and said, farmer, they're going to send him to Chattahoochee.
They ought to. Should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, now Harry Smoke goes over and talks to widow women.
Yeah, he was there today, you know, with one by the hay, and that's when I teased him, you know, I just cracked him.
Yeah.
I said, how's the widow women coming today? And that's when he nodded.
Yeah, he liked what you teased.
Yeah, that's what I know he does. Yeah, he likes it. He helped him build that addition on there, you know, he got a little bit of money out of that deal. He built that addition. She spent, you know, $1,000 out of it, and 2 bedrooms,
and
he got some of the money. She bought some material, and Harry got some of the cotton away.
Yeah.
And they're laughing at Harry, and joining the pillars up.
Yeah.
And Alice, you know, she's about 90, and you know how them old people like that is, by they're teasing Harry, you know, about following her underneath the house, you know. Then old, and she didn't have on no britches, no, with the long hair on trousers, and old Harry crawling on that woman. Alice going, she's hard of hearing too. He's gonna see, you know, how they gonna join the, you know, where join the house. She wanted, you know, where they wouldn't kick the door and fall down, you know, on that floor just right. And she's there about that. She's about 90 years old.
Yeah.
You know, at a bell.
Yeah.
Miss Bell is. But she carried her down. She getting along pretty good now.
But is old Harry, can he carpenter?
It used to be. He's got now where he's too old to do.
Well,
that.
What did he do over there in the house?
Well, that's when Lois, you know, moved up there. He helped the air.
I mean, over where he lives. He
does a little bacony beehive, super, the way you call them, super duper.
But nothing extra? No.
Yeah,
no.
He does a little, he